You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Punt Podcast, in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Mercy.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Bosses up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Yes, hello everybody. Welcome along to the Punt Podcast here at William Hill. We've got more international football coming up over the next few days. We've got World Cup qualifiers, more action from the playoffs there. Find out who makes it to the World Cup next summer. We've also got international friendlies and plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton. I'm joined on the line by Derek McGovern. How are you, Del?
All right, Mark. How are you doing? All right.
Yeah, not too bad. This is the second time we've recorded this little intro because we had a technical issue with the PC that I'm using. And let's go for a bit more of an upbeat one than the first attempt, because you're not impressed by these international playoffs, are you, so far?
Well, not on the evidence so far. I'm just hoping the second legs are a bit brighter, because if they're as bad as the first legs, well, you know, next June and July, we should all take a holiday somewhere when the World Cup's on. Take a holiday where the World Cup will be ignored. I'm thinking Scotland.
I'm sure the Scottish listeners will love you for that. Do you think it's just because of the pressure? First legs are always quite cagey, aren't they? They don't want to give anything away in the first leg.
Yeah. It's no surprise in a way, but it's just, you know, if that was taken in isolation, yeah, fine, but it's just a general trend of international football now. You only have to look at that England-Germany game 0-0 on Friday, and so many England games of the past. It's almost becoming unwatchable, international football.
Yeah. Is that because...
Well, at least you can have a bet on it. That's the thing. If you have a bet on it, it's watchable, which is why we're here, of course.
We're providing a service for international football. That's what we're doing. Make it watchable. We're going to go through these in chronological order. We've got games taking place Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night. That's the games we're going to look at on this particular podcast. So we'll get stuck into them. First game that we look at is the 5 p.m. kickoff on Sunday evening. Switzerland against Northern Ireland. Switzerland 4-9 in the betting. The draw is 3-1. Northern Ireland are 7-1 to qualify. Switzerland 1-20. Northern Ireland are 8-1. Northern Ireland have it all to do, partly courtesy of a controversial penalty incident in the first leg, Derek.
Oh, it was more than controversial. It's the worst decision in football since Liverpool decided to wear those white suits, I think, and Simon Mignolet decided to wear a goalkeeper's shirt. It was a criminal decision by the referee. And, you know, it was just an honest mistake by him. I'm sure when he watches it, you'll think, what was I doing there? But you can understand why some people question the impartiality of referees in some games, because it was such a bad decision. You wonder how on earth he gave it. To be fair, though, the Swiss could have won. They won 1-0 courtesy of that penalty. They could have won by a wider margin. I think it was a big gulf in class between the two sides. And we said before that game, Mark, when we were previewing it in the podcast on Thursday or Friday, whenever it was, we knew it was going to be unders. When you're under 1.5 goals in a Premier League match, it's generally around about 2-1. For this game, it was 13-10. Massively short, but I actually remember saying it wasn't short enough. Just knew how it was going to go. And I think this time around, I think it's going to be the same. You know, the Swiss have done their number one job. They've stopped the Irish scoring on Swiss soil. And I think, you know, I think this weekend, this in the second leg, they'll just park the Toblerone. Because if they keep Ireland away from their penalty area, they'll go through. And I don't think, you look down the squad, the Irish squad, you know, the Northern Irish have got to attack, but I don't think they're capable of. And I'm going to, under 1.5 goals is 7-4 now, bigger than 13-10, 7-4, and I think it's absolutely nailed on that one.
So I'm not expecting many goals, and under 1.5, 7-4. If you want to be a little bit less bold, you can go under 2.5 at 8-15. This Swiss side have been on a real run as well, haven't they? They've only lost once since this time last year, pretty much. They've won every other game bar one. I mean, that's some run for a team that many people wouldn't say should go on runs like that in the shape of Switzerland.
No. I mean, but they've been a coming side for a few years now. They're not like the Swiss side that you could, you know, you could roll over to, if you forgive the Swiss roll pun. And, you know, in every... Look, I watched that first leg. And in every department, they were Ireland superior, you know. I think they could have won more comfortably with a little bit more ambition. They don't need it now because they've already done the hard job. And, yeah, you know, they're going to be a team at the World Cup if they indeed do go through, which I think they will. They're going to be a team that you're not going to want in your group, I don't think.
Yeah, they were kind of like the dark horses in many people's opinions for the Euros, weren't they? But they were very disappointing there.
Disappointing, yeah, they were. I mean, you look down the squad and there's, you know, we're all familiar with Shaqiri and one or two others, but you know they're not a squad of household names, but they get the job done. And you know, if any team beats them in Russia next year, it ain't going to be a landslide. You can imagine them in their opening group, they'll draw a couple 0-0 and maybe win the third match 1-0 or lose it 1-0. They're that kind of team.
Yeah. Would you expect that kind of scenario here, like a 1-0 to Switzerland?
Without question. Yeah. I mean, Ireland, you know, this is the thing about Ireland. They need to go for broke in this match. You know, they're 1-0 down from the first leg. They need to go for broke. But I don't think they're capable of it. They've never played like that in, well, as long as I remember. Certainly not under this manager, who's won all kinds of plaudits. And it's just alien to them, and I don't know how they're going to cope with that. Well, I can actually see them keeping it tight for the first hour, thinking we'll be losing another goal with its curtains for us. So I just don't see either side. Switzerland don't need to attack, and Northern Ireland can't. It's bang on and unders again, under 1.5, nailed on.
OK, by the way, if you want to put those together, Switzerland to win and under 2.5 goals, that is 8-5. Can I interest you in that?
I don't see Switzerland. Switzerland are too sure for me to back them to win a game when they don't need to win.
Okay. All right, so low on the goals then, but Switzerland to go through, and fortunately for Northern Ireland, that means that they won't be going to the World Cup. Let's move on to the other match that takes place on Sunday evening, Greece against Croatia. That's a 7:45 p.m. kickoff. Greece 13-5. The draw 12-5. Croatia are 21-20. This game looks all done and dusted, really. Derek, Croatia 4-1 up on aggregate. They're not going to slip up against Greece here, are they?
No. I mean, I didn't see the game. I've seen a few highlights, and it was a Greek tragedy. It really was. I mean, the Greece press call is an unprecedented disgrace. Unprecedented. Well, you know, obviously never watched Greece too. They were awful. They were as awful as, you know, I thought Croatia, before that match, were a team over the hill. You know, I thought a lot of familiar names, but names that perhaps are past the best. But it was a walk in the park for them. And I can, you know, I always worry about backing teams to win when they don't have to win. Croatia don't have to win this game. But there are odds against here, playing against a poor side. That's what Greece are. Greece in the last few years have lost twice to the Faroe Islands. That's how poor they are. It's actually quite unthinkable that that has happened. And you can see what's going to happen. They're going to have to qualify. They've got to win 3-0, and Croatia have not lost a competitive fixture by a 3-goal margin since they lost 5-1 to England about, 8 or 10 years ago. So, you know, Croatia are definitely through. We know that. And Greece might throw caution to the wind. You can imagine Croatia, because they're a much better side, picking them off on the break. So anybody backing the Croatians to win this one, you wouldn't get too much of an argument from me.
I think the 21-20 about Croatia looks too big.
Well, yeah.
Odds against. I know they don't have to win the game, but they should
exactly,
still, shouldn't they?
Yeah. Well, they could do. I mean, do the Greeks honestly think they've got any chance of turning that one around? Probably not. And we've seen how poor they've been, some of their results recently. So it's just, as a punter, I've been a punter for a million years now, Mark. And whenever, I don't think I've ever backed a team to win when they don't have to win. That's
yeah.
the problem. But generally, you, in this kind of scenario, that team would be odds on, you know, because they're comfortably the better side. You're getting odds against here. So if ever I'm going to do that, it would be in this fixture.
Yeah, that midfield as well for Croatia. I know you say that the Paps aging slightly or whatever, but when you look at Modric, Rakitic, Perisic, those three, they're a class apart from the midfield for Greece, aren't they? Here, they should dictate this game.
Yeah, they're playing in top teams, top leagues in Europe. And, you know, you look down the Greece side and the most familiar name is Mitroglou. Well, you're even, you know, he pronounced it now, and he's hardly set the Premier League alight in a couple of visits. So, yeah, this match revolves around Croatian ambition, basically. Are they happy to go and lose 1-0? It'll still put them through. Or, you know, will they want to take control, which they could do if they wanted, and win this game comfortably? I'm hoping it's the latter, and maybe with odds against the bookies are dangling that option for you. You know, it's a definite come on from the bookies, that. And they're probably thinking punters will be looking at this game the way I'm looking at it. You know, be wary of backing a team that don't have to win. And that's why they're dangling that quote, because it is too big on them. They're a much better side.
Yeah. So are there any safe bets in here, then, if you're not quite sure about backing Croatia as the way in that you could play it to
no,
to
well, I can't. No, I can't see it safer, because you might say, well, let's back Croatia on the handicap, but you're not getting any, you know, and that covers like a draw then, you know, a 0-0 draw or something. But you're not getting Croatia plus a goal 1-4. It's not really the kind of bet I want to have that. There are better betting options over the next few days than this one.
All right, well, let's move on to another betting option then. Let's go to the Italy-Sweden game taking place on Monday evening. The betting looks like this: Italy 4-7, the draw 13-5, and Sweden are 6-1. Sweden with a 1-0 aggregate lead, but they go to Italy, and Italy are unbeaten at home in over a year. They've only conceded 2 goals during that spell. Is it going to be typical Italy closing teams out at home and going on to win the match here, Derek?
No, I think Italy are in deep trouble. There's a lot of gloom and doom over in Italy right now about their team. You know, I watched them against Spain in one of their last qualifying matches. They lost 3-0, and they were absolutely diabolical. I could not believe what I was watching. Since then, they've been held at home by Macedonia. And they've got a manager who is basically not up to the job. This Ventura, Gianluigi Ventura, he's taken over from Conte, and the team's gone backwards under him. There was talk that the players had a meeting between themselves away from the manager to decide how to take things forward, because that's how bad they've been. Well, it certainly didn't help in the first leg. Sweden won the first match 1-0 and deserved to win as well. From, you know, I watched the game. I really don't, Italy at home against Sweden, you should be backing them, shouldn't you? But I can actually see the Swedes winning this. Everything I've said in the recent game, the Croatia-Greece game, they were back teams that don't have to win. Well, not when their odds on, maybe when their odds against a bit, but the Swedes are 6-1 here. And I've got a feeling that these Italian players have thrown it in for their manager. They just don't want him there. That might sound heresy when we're talking about qualifying for the World Cup here, but nothing I've seen from Italy over the last few months makes me think they're good enough to beat Sweden here, even on home territory. There's a bit of history between these two sides as well. Remember the pairing in the group stages in the Euros about in 2004, I think it was. I think Italy had to beat Bulgaria in their last game and hope that the Swedes didn't draw 2-2 with Denmark, because that would send the Swedes and the Danes through in the same group. And guess what happened? The Italians beat Bulgaria. Then the other match finished 2-2. And the Italians have never, ever forgiven the Swedes since then. So, like typical Italians, they will want revenge, but I don't think they're going to get it. And I'm actually thinking here, I might, you know, Sweden at 6-1 makes a bit of appeal for me. But for the less intrepid punters, Sweden with a goal start is the way to play here, because they never give Italy a sniff in that first leg, and that's the Swedish strength, isn't it? Closing sides out and not giving anything away. So I might play a little bit safer and go Sweden with a goal at 7-5.
Yeah, 7-5 for that. You can also back Sweden to qualify at 5-6.
Well, that is absolutely massive. Sweden to qualify. You know what? I must have been asleep. I didn't see those qualifying prices. You know, Switzerland are 1-0 up from the first leg. They're 1-20 to qualify. Sweden are 1-0 up from the first match. They're 5-6. I know the standard of opposition is a little bit different, but even so, 5-6 to 1-20. That is a massive, massive price for Sweden.
Yeah. I was just trying to think what would go into that. Obviously, you'll have a Sweden win, and if Sweden get beat by a goal but score, then you'd still get paid out.
Exactly. If Sweden score a goal, you know, it's goodbye Italy.
Yeah. Yeah. So siding with Sweden then to upset. It'd be weird having a World Cup without Italy, won't it?
There haven't been that many, certainly. I think it's about 60 years since the last time they went there, and they've won it, you know, since then as well, a couple of times. Yeah, it won't be the same, to be honest. I always holiday in Italy. They're like my adopted country, and I'll be very sad. But right now, they do not look like a side.
All right, damning verdict on Italy there then, as they take on Sweden on Monday evening. Let's move on to Tuesday night's games. We'll start with the game at Wembley. England taking on Brazil. 3-1 for England, 5-2 for the draw, and it's 4-5 for Brazil. England remain unbeaten at Wembley under Gareth Southgate. They've kept 5 clean sheets in 7 games. Can they shut out the Brazilians here, Derek?
No, is the answer. I think Brazil have a shade of odds on. Absolutely massive bets. An England-Brazil match is always something to savour, but only if you're Brazilian, because I think there's going to be a golfing class here. Brazil have just marmalised Japan 3-1. OK, you might say that Japan are no great shakes. One of those teams that get to the finals of the World Cup for no apparent reason. But the same can be said about England. I think there's a massive golfing class between these two teams. I didn't see that Brazil-Japan game, but apparently it could have been about 7 or 8-1. That's how good they were. And Brazil do friendlies. You know, if you look back over their recent results over the last few years, they don't mess about in friendly matches, Brazil. I suppose it's because so many players, you've got so many great players who want to stake a claim to a place in the first team. They'll give it their all. England, dear, I mean, they're painful to watch. Even that Germany game on Friday, you know what you're going to get from them? Dullness for 90 minutes. They had such a young team out against Germany in that game on Friday. I half expected the match to be shown on the Disney Channel. Most times, most England matches should have been shown on the Comedy Channel. They give me no confidence whatsoever. The manager gives me no confidence. Yes, there were one or two bright spots. The performance of Ruben Loftus-Cheek. He was good. I actually thought, normally you'll always get in a match like this, there's nothing to write about for the press. So they'll pick on one player and say, he could be the answer to our problems. I heard it before about the likes of Tom Cleverley. Tom, can you believe that? Jack Wilshere. So I'm not getting carried away. One thing I would say about Loftus-Cheek, he did carry himself like a seasoned international footballer. So he could be a shining light for England. But apart from that, you just get exactly what you expect from them, which is an amazing lack of stardust. I think Brazil are absolute certainties in this game.
Wow, absolute certainties then. 4-5, about an absolute certainty. A lot of people would snap your hand off for that, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they would, and they should do.
Yeah, fair enough. England do have a pretty decent recent record against Brazil. They drew them in June 2013. They beat them in February early that year as well. Although prior to that, 23 years without victory over Brazil, including a few heartbreaking moments at World Cups and such along the way. In terms of Brazilian goal scorers, there are plenty you could pick from and all that kind of stuff here, Derek. But I kind of was looking at Gabriel Jesus, 21-20 to score any time. He's a bit of odds against. He's been scoring goals for Brazil, and we've seen what he's been doing at Man City as well. Could I tempt you with somebody like that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he looks like the real deal, doesn't he? You know, you get so many players and the press make a big song and dance about them and you think, no, I'm not too sure. But you look at that, Tammy Abraham is 13, so 8 to score at any time. You know, who'd be lucky to get a game in my Sunday team. And Jesus is 21-20, you get a game in any team. It's a no-brainer. You know, Brazil played against Japan the other night and, you know, it was a walkover. And they didn't have players like Coutinho, in my eyes, is just one of the best in Europe. They could afford to play without Firmino, who's been fantastic for Liverpool too. So many players who would walk into the England team didn't play in that game last week. There's just a massive gulf in class here. It really is.
Yeah, unfortunately so. You look at that England team as well that played the other night. That's never been an England team, has it?
Oh, come on. Tammy Abraham. I reckon he got two caps on Friday night, his first and his last. You're looking down at Jesse Lingard. Is he England class? Eric Dyer was captain. I mean, he's just a functional midfield player in my eyes. Livermore coming on as sub. Are we reduced to this level now? It really is painful to watch.
It's a weird one as well, isn't it? Because actually, a 0-0 draw against Germany, you'd probably take that 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, but Germany were in second gear, and they played without so many of their star names. You know, I know there was a few missing for England, obviously Harry Kane being the chief one. But a lot of the players that were missing, if they come back, I don't think they make that much of a difference. Yeah. Brazil, you know, you look at the players they've got, and Germany, sorry, too, on Friday. You look at some of the players that didn't play for them, and you know that when they come in, and they get rid of the Carthors or Ozil, which surely they will do soon. You know, there's a lot more to come from them. I don't think there's a lot more to come from England. There never is.
You're not a fan of Ozil?
Oh, dear me. I mean, so lazy, he has moss growing. Oh, Ozil, I mean,
Right, interesting. I think he's been voted German International Player of the Year for the last few years anyway, but...
yeah, well, shows you the Germans do have a sense of humour.
Let's talk about Germany's game against France. Obviously, no home nations involved with this, so we can go through a little bit more quickly if you like, but quite an interesting game as far as international football goes. Germany 23-20, the draw 11-5, France 11-5. Any strong opinion there, Derek?
Well, 11-5, I mean, for the five, finally. I mean, I think it's a big price. They beat Germany 2-0 in the Euro 2016 semi-final. They're going to be my best for the World Cup too. And I know that Germany are probably going to be fielding a more recognised side in this game than they did on Friday. But we didn't really get out of second gear against England the other night. But I watched the Germans, and I think I'm right in saying the top of the world rankings, and I suppose rightly so, given that they won the World Cup. But I'm always underwhelmed by them. Yeah, I think there's, you know, if they were to play France in the final of the World Cup next year, I think France would beat them. And I think France are a good price here to win. Okay, they beat Wales 2-0 the other night. You know, it was a bloodless victory. He was always going to win that game, Wales without Gareth Bale. But I think there's more to come from France than there is from Germany. And I think that's a big price for the French in this one.
Okay, so France, a big price there. Just a fleeting visit to that match. Let's get back to the home nations. We'll come on to the Republic of Ireland-Denmark game last of all, because that's the one that really matters, I suppose, on Tuesday night. But before we get to that, Wales against Panama. I just want to get your thoughts quickly on there. Not quite got it priced up on the William Hill website yet, but I imagine Wales will be a bit of odds on to beat Panama. Wales have kind of, well, their past month has been a bit of a disaster following all the Euros heroics and the long unbeaten run before losing to the Republic of Ireland. They've since been beaten by France, but you could say, fair enough, with that kind of result. Is this kind of, have they set this up against Panama just to be, right, let's get some confidence back into the team, let's get another win back on the board and then try and build for 12 months, 18 months down the line?
Well, possibly, but I think if you're a Welsh player, you're probably thinking, what are we doing playing this fixture? It's more interesting for Panama. Unbelievably, Panama are actually qualified for the World Cup finals next year. They're only just above rail in the FIFA World Rankings, I think. They've qualified. There's always a name that comes from nowhere to get to the World Cup before largely being ignored once there. Normally it's England. This time it will be Panama. America beat them 4-0 in October. That gives an idea to what they're like. So we know exactly what to get from Panama. I mean, it should be a gift for Wales, really. But it's Wales, and they'll be odds on. And Wales and odds on, it's don't touch territory as a punter. If you got more money than sense, you'll have a bet on this fixture. I haven't, and I haven't got much sense.
Fair enough. Panama, if you want a reason to back Wales, by the way, Panama have only won two away games since January 2016. Wales, on the other hand, have only lost once at home on home soil for 2 years, and that was the defeat against the Republic of Ireland. They should be far too strong for Panama. If you'd look at it logically, it should be a great bet at a little bit of odds on.
Well, it should be. I mean, I've heard the Panama players don't win caps, they win hats. How true that is.
Oh dear.
that's a shocker, isn't it? Sorry, move on.
Gareth Bale, by the way, missing for Wales. He's got another injury. He's going to be missing for some time, possibly into the new year. Again, we haven't got the market, so I can't really throw any prices at you, but a lot of people would be looking at maybe Wales minus one and thinking that's still relatively safe. You don't seem that convinced about that.
Well, no, because I think that the light has gone from Wales, and this is a game. What's in it for Wales this game?
Well, Chris Coleman's been talking about how it's a chance to build for the future. Also, I heard things that it might be his last game in charge as well. So,
well, yeah, but I mean, they're the kind of things a manager would say, even what a manager who might be departing. It's just if you're a Welsh player, and I'll tell you what, I don't know how many pullouts there've been from from this Welsh squad. But I mean, Ryan Giggs hasn't even been selected and he's pulled out again. I just can't believe that they'll get anything like a recognisable side to this game. And let's not forget that if you're Panama, there's more mileage in it for them than it is for Wales. They're going to the World Cup, and I'm guessing, I mean, there's probably only a nation of about 14 lads who qualify for, you know, who've been eligible for their team. But they'll all be wanting a place in the squad. So I'd tread warily before having a bet on that fixture.
Okay. Tread with a bit of caution then for that Wales-Panama game. Let's move on to the final match we're going to look at. The Republic of Ireland taking on Denmark in the second leg of their World Cup playoff. It's 0-0 after the first leg. And the betting, if you bear with me a second, I'll just try and get it back up on the screen. 7-4 the Republic of Ireland. The draw is 2-1 and 7-4 for Denmark. It's priced up mightily close in the betting there, Derek. It's 0-0 after the first leg. Is this going to be very, very tight? Cagey affair. How do you see it going?
Well, firstly, I would look at the qualify odds. Now, Denmark, before Saturday's 0-0 draw, were 8-13 to qualify. And now they're longer, they're 4-6. In other words, bookies think they are less likely now to qualify than they were before that 0-0 draw. Well, that's poppycock, because they completed their first task successfully. And that first task, when you're the home team, in a two-legged match in which away goals count double, is to stop. It's not to concede. That result was massive for Denmark. Oh, I heard the commentator watch the game. Commentator afterwards, oh yes, Ireland, you know, halfway there, they've done the first part. You know, got the first part of the job, they didn't get beat. That's nonsense. Ireland's task away from home was to score. The thinking has changed now with all this away goals. When you're playing the home leg first, don't concede. That's all that matters. The Danes didn't concede. And in my eyes, they are massively favoured to go through now. I think they're 4-6 now, aren't they, I said.
Yeah.
Will they win? So you know, they don't have to win. They don't have to win to qualify. A score draw or a victory will put them through against a team that are no great shakes, the Republic. I'm backing Denmark at 4-6 to qualify. That's the first point. I would actually think at 7-4, they're a decent price to beat the Republic as well. Because from what I saw, they'll look at that fixture and think there's absolutely nothing to fear from the Irish. I was disappointed in the Irish, the lack of ambition, the lack of everything, really. And, you know, the Danes have got out in the middle of a good run of form too. I think they'll win this fixture, but certainly they'll qualify.
All right, 4-6 to qualify, 7-4 to win the match. The Republic of Ireland haven't lost any of their last five international meetings with Denmark, by the way. They've won two of them and drawn three of them, kept clean sheets in each of the last three meetings with Denmark as well. A clean sheet for them here, and they're on the verge of going through, Derek.
Well, no, they've got a score, haven't they?
Yeah.
A clean sheet, a 0-0 draw will take them through to the... but if, you know, what I'm saying is, if Denmark score, it's game over. Can you see the Republic scoring two past them? I can't.
Denmark as well, by the way, haven't lost a single international fixture in 2017.
As I say, they're in a decent run of form.
Again,
they're one of those teams, a bit like the Swiss I mentioned earlier in the podcast. One of those teams that are not, you know, Christian Eriksen apart. You know, they're not made up of star names, but again, they're functional to get the job. Having said that, there are not too many teams at an international level, Brazil apart, and maybe Spain now, but are full of star names, are they? They're just, you know, certainly not England anyway.
And when your star name's Christian Eriksen, who I think scored more goals than any other midfielder in qualifying, you're doing all right in that respect as well, aren't you, I suppose?
Well, that's it. If you're in a tight game and you've got a player like that, you know, that is the difference. In fact, you know, I always remember, I think back on international football, I think back to Maradona winning the World Cup for Argentina in 86, and he was a one-man team. And you can do that in international football. If you've got 10 players who do their job, no stardust, just do their jobs, don't make mistakes, and then you've got a Maradona, you can win a World Cup. And, you know, I'm not saying Denmark are going to win a World Cup, but they can win matches like this because of the presence of someone like Eriksen.
Yeah. Well, I suppose in summary then, Derek, it's going to be a bit of a disaster for the home nations this week. You think Republic of Ireland are going out? You think Northern Ireland are not going to make it either? Wales are going to potentially struggle against Panama, and England are going to be outclassed by Brazil?
Yes, yeah. As I say, well, par for the course, it generally is the case in international football. I mean, I always... I never... I should know now never to underestimate the Irish because they're capable of grinding out results when you think they've got no chance there. But I just can't see it. They were underdogs to go through before the first legs against the Swiss and the Danes, and I still think they are massively now.
All right, do you have a best bet in all of that? Anything you're particularly fond of this
Brazil,
week?
Brazil, certainties, absolute certainties. Brazil will beat England, but probably by a minimum of a 2-goal margin. I'm convinced by that.
All right, well, good stuff. It's been a pleasure speaking to you again, Derek. It's been a while. Good luck with your predictions there and enjoy the football this week.
Thanks a lot, Mark. Cheers, mate.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.